And we now are going to travel over to the performance studio live, where Susan Lewis is chatting with the Dolce Suono Trio. Susan?
Thanks so much, Bliss. Yes, we're in the WRTI Performance Studio with the Dolce Suono Trio, with founder and artistic director and flutist Mimi Stillman, pianist Charles Abramovic, and cellist Nathan Vickery. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Susan. We're delighted to be with you.
Mimi, you founded Dolce Suono Ensemble about 13 years ago. Where does the trio fit within your vision?
This trio that you're seeing today is the flagship ensemble of the larger Dolce Suono Ensemble. We are very active both on the DSC Presents series in Philadelphia, our home series, and on the road for touring and commissioning and recording. But I like to think of the ensemble as a whole as kind of a repertory theater company, where you have this cast of great artists and colleagues and friends coming together, expanding and contracting for the configurations of the programming.
And you're here today in advance of the beginning of your season. The trio is kicking off the season with a concert on October 14th.
Yes, we're so excited to be previewing this with you today. The program for Sunday afternoon is entitled Dolce Suono Trio Classics and Commissions. So we're showcasing some of the classic works for our flute cello piano combination, along with some of the fantastic works that we've commissioned over the years.
Is there a big repertoire for flute, cello, and piano?
Well, as a flutist, I like to say yes for flute, but the real answer compared to the string quartet or even piano, trio, violin, cello, piano repertoire would sadly be no. Although we have some great works from Haydn and Weber, Gobert, a lot of it's 20th century, Roram, Crumb, commissions, Martinu that we're going to play, and that's why we enjoy expanding the repertoire.
Great. Well, let's get to music. Charles, you're going to introduce this first piece.
Yes, we'll start with the Scherzo from Mendelssohn's D minor trio. This is probably one of his most famous chamber works. And Mendelssohn was great at writing scherzos. There's the famous scherzo from Midsummer Night's Dream. And there's great joy and lightness in this piece that you'll hear. Thank you.
Wonderful. That was great. Mimi, we were talking a little bit earlier about the significance of the flute part in this piece.
Yes, and I'm sure many of your listeners probably know and love this piece and possibly even wonder what I'm doing here as a flutist playing the violin part. But I'm just really delighted that in the 1990s it was discovered that Mendelssohn approved an alternative flute part for the first English publication of this work in 1840. And it was just lost for about 150 years. And so while I love arranging music for my instrument, I really would not have touched this. One has to be very judicious, so unless, you know, before knowing that it had Mendelssohn's approval.
So before the flute part was found, it was just a trio for which instruments?
Oh, for violin, cello, and piano, so for sort of classic piano trio. And it's such a great work. It actually is one of the winning works in Dolce Suono Ensemble's Chamber Music Top 20 poll.
Well, that's interesting. I was just going to ask you where you get your ideas, because I know your concerts frequently have themes, and Mimi, you're also a historian, and so many of the themes we've talked about, the founding fathers and other freedom was a theme. You often put music in context and get your ideas from history.
Yeah, so after Curtis Institute of Music, actually all three of us in the trio are graduates of Curtis, I was performing full-time but also wanted to continue learning and did a master's in history at the University of Pennsylvania. So a lot of the programming does kind of blend music and history or music and cultural context. We talked about some Debussy projects we've done or Mahler-Schoenberg anniversaries or Music and Freedom, one of Charlie's and My CDs, or Music and the Holocaust. So those kind of larger contexts often inform our programming, and it often comes out of a dialogue among the artists, board members, and for our upcoming new project, Fall for Chamber Music, we're performing works that were selected through polling our audiences, so we love hearing from them too.
That's interesting. How did you do that?
We had a poll going on from August through about over a month in the summer of people able to vote for their top five chamber music picks, and we had some parameters there, and then we were making a list of the top 20 that we've been announcing the winners, and then we're also going to perform some of the winners actually throughout the season. We're doing a lot of great works that happen to win, but also on October 24th for the launch of our Fall for Chamber Music project.
That's pretty exciting. So you draw from music from all different centuries, you draw from new music, you look to your audience. It's a really interesting mix.
Thank you. I think the variety is fun for us. We do a kind of all Baroque concert, or mostly Baroque per year, through a lot of different themes and a lot of commissions of new music as well.
Great. Well, the next piece we're about to hear is Wyeth.
Yes, it's from Jennifer Higdon's American Canvas, one of our commissioned works that we recorded on our recent album, American Canvas, which we'd love for everyone to join us in listening to. We have four premieres by great composers. In addition to Jennifer, Shulamit Ron, another Pulitzer winner, who also happens to be a woman composer, Andrea Clearfield, a distinguished composer, and Jo Tian, a Grammy nominee of last year as well.
So where did you get the idea to commission music based on American fine art?
Well, this was really through conversation with Jennifer. I think the whole group is just so honored that she had the time to write for us, and she's been a friend through Curtis for a long time of mine, as well as a flutist, actually, who's written a lot of great music for my instrument in different combinations. And painting has always been very important to her. She talks about how her father was a painter, and when we were talking about a possible kind of other cultural aspect to this piece, we both were very excited about this, and so each movement is devoted to an American painter that Jennifer chose. There's Pollock and O'Keeffe, and then we're going to play for you the Wyeth.
Great. Thank you. That's wonderful. That's great. You know, it's interesting because I talked to Jennifer Higdon when she was composing this, or after she had composed it, and she was talking about Christina's World, the Andrew Wyeth painting where a woman is sprawled on a hillside with all of these blades of grass, and she was talking about the level of detail, and you could hear in the music this kind of sense of detail, but then this emotional sweep with it as well. Nathan, what was it like for you in playing this piece?
Well, this was a really fun piece to put together, really, for the first time, because it was commissioned for the group, and it was a real pleasure to work with Jennifer on this piece. In thinking about how music can relate to visual art, I was thinking about how looking at a canvas, you have time to focus on a small detail or step back and look at the canvas as a whole, and you can look at it for as long or as short as you want. When we perform a piece of music, it's really a story form in which you are taken along by the music throughout the piece. But I think what Jennifer's done beautifully, especially in this Wyeth, is there are moments when you feel focused in on a small detail or even an emotion, and you hear these details or these little splashes of color. And then times when you step back and are kind of swept along in the real arc of the emotion. And I think especially as this piece goes along, there are moments of zooming in, stepping back, zooming back in, but then really at the end, you see the work for everything that it is.
So did you work closely with Jennifer while she was composing it?
We didn't work with her while she was composing. She and Mimi were discussing the ideas, but she completed the work. We got the parts. We learned our parts. We put it together. We began trying to figure out what this work is. We got to play for her. She gave us some great tips. But what I really loved about working with Jennifer is she respected really what we were doing with the music, and as we began to interpret it and bring it to life ourselves, she just gave us a few hints and directions to bring it to life.
And I understand this album has been submitted in the Grammy process, whatever that means.
Yes, thanks. Actually, yes, it's on Innova Recordings, and it's been submitted for the sort of first round of voting for Best Small Ensemble, and two of the works as well for Best Small Chamber Ensemble work. So we're very thrilled about that.
Well, wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
And we have one more piece of music that you'll play for us.
Yes, we're going to preview the first movement of Bohuslav Martinů's trio, which we're going to perform on Sunday. So we hope everyone joins us to hear the whole thing. This is such a strong work. It was written in 1944. The composer was Czech, and he and his wife fled Czechoslovakia at the outbreak of World War II. They first went to Paris, and then they made it to the United States, where Martinů collaborated a lot with the Boston Symphony Orchestra, commissioned by Sergei Kuzovitsky, who was instrumental in commissioning so many great 20th century orchestral works. And as a composer of chamber music, Martinů wrote a lot of really sparkling, energetic pieces. Two things to listen for in this movement, or I guess perhaps to know about, because it's not actually programmed music, but one, Martinů grew up in a clock tower. His father was the proprietor, I suppose, of a clock tower. And there's sometimes his music has been likened to a kind of mechanical small units of motifs that repeat and fit together in an intricate way. You might be able to imagine sort of gears in that, but then also very much his love of nature. In his flute sonata, which Charlie and I have performed, Martinů quoted the whippoorwill that he heard on Cape Cod during World War II while composing around the same time as this trio. So I think we often hear sort of nature sounds or the singing or birds' song in his music as well. Thank you.
Great. I will say, sitting up here so close to all of you while you're playing is so much fun, because the intimacy of chamber music and the conversational aspect is so apparent. I can see you looking at each other and nodding, and it's a really wonderful art form. And one thing that I wonder is, you all are so busy. I mean, Mimi, as founder and artistic director of Dolce Suono, and you're popping up in concert performances everywhere. Charlie, you're in concert with various groups all over and chair of the keyboard studies at Temple. Nathan, you're in the New York Philharmonic. I mean, what, with such busy schedules, what brings you together in this group?
And I'll pass this around, but first of all, Susan, you are welcome to join us anytime. I think we all love having your energy right with us on stage. Yes. Thanks. But that's kind of what I think we all probably love about chamber music, this communication that is so intimate and the energy that you feel and just the group working together. But yeah, in answer to your question, Dolce Suono Trio is definitely just a really beloved part of what I do as a soloist and chamber musician and as our core ensemble. And it's just amazing to work with these friends for so many years. Charlie and I as a duo for about 16 years, and then the trio since the founding of Dolce Suono Ensemble in 2005. And then Nathan, I think we've been all playing together as a trio for 6 or 7 years. So yeah, let me pass this around.
I think one thing that keeps us going, all of us as musicians, is the variety and incredible wealth of music that we have, and whether it's orchestral music or chamber music or solo music or the teaching that we do, it's just a great art form to be involved with. It's an endless source of inspiration, and having wonderful colleagues like this is, of course, the best of all possible worlds. To quote Voltaire.
And there's really nothing left for me to add other than it's really exciting to learn new music, and to play chamber music is one of the greatest joys, because there's this listening in the moment, always being able to react so quickly to an instinct or a thought that one of either Mimi or Charlie will throw out to the group. And so it's chamber music is one of my greatest joys, and to be able to take some time, step away from the orchestra, playing chamber music refreshes me to go back to the orchestra and try to bring the same kind of life and energy in every concert.
Well, your camaraderie and the bond is really evident. It reminds me of when you get together with a childhood friend you haven't seen in a long time and you pick up right where you left off. Is it musically the same way when you all get together?
I think so, and it's great because we don't spend every week performing together. We only come together several times a year, but when we do come back together and play, it clicks so quickly, and it becomes it's a very easy process to put the music together.
Well, thank you so much for making the time to come to WRTI's performance studio. We've loved listening to you and chatting with you, and we want to remind our listeners that you'll be at the Trinity Center for Urban Life Sunday, October 14th at 3:00. That's the concert that kicks off your season with the trio.
Yes, DSC Presents will open. We hope you join us at this festive concert.
And then October 24th is the free concert as part of the Fall for Chamber Music Initiative at the Free Library.
Yes, we're partnering with the Free Library. We're doing chamber music in civic spaces and engaging new audiences with the great support of a grant from the William Penn Foundation. So we also invite you to that really fun concert.
Great. Thank you so much for coming, and good luck. And good luck with the Grammy voting.
Thank you so much, Susan. And we so appreciate your welcoming us back to WRTI. It's been a lot of fun playing for you and talking with you today.
Great. Well, thank you. We're here in the WRTI Performance Studio, and we'll go back to regular programming with Bliss.